This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashing Out, Scott Satterberg with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, as we take a look at the NCAA tournament. We are into Sunday, and we have the second day of the second round of the NCAA tournament. As always, you guys can hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll be joined by Cody Mitchell from Bet the Juice podcast. We'll get his plays for the second round here of the NCAA tournament, games being played on Sunday. Well, Saturday was more of the same. Mots, as they say, as favorites continue to dominate here in this NCAA tournament in 2026. After the dogs did pretty well on the first day of the tournament, on Thursday, favorites went 16-0 straight up and had a monster ATS record on the second day of the tournament. 16-0 straight up, 12-4 ATS. Here on Saturday, favorites went 6-2 straight up and ATS. So in the last 2 days of the NCAA tournament, we're looking at favorites 22-2 straight up and what, 18-6 against the spread. Overall, let's see, if we include the first four, which maybe we shouldn't include the first four, but I'm going to do it anyway. Favorites are 29. Oh, actually, this number has to be updated because we have a couple games that haven't been included yet. So I'll just do it manually real quick. Let's see. We are 1, 2, 3, 4, and 2 straight up has to be updated. So we are, wow. So favorites, if you include the play-in round here, are 33-11 straight up. And then ATS, we're looking at, what, 25-19 against the spread? So it's been a chalky tournament. Let's see. If I forget about the first four play-in rounds, the first four play-in games, there we go. Now we're at, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 2 here. We are at 32-8. Wow. 32-8 favorites. That's a pretty good bracket. Like, if you filled out your bracket challenge and you're 32-8 right now going into the Sunday of the second round, I think you're feeling pretty good about your bracket. I'm always curious to see how people's brackets have done in like the ESPN tournament challenge. My bracket, it does not look good right now because I lost an Elite Eight team with Gonzaga. So I'm down to like the 70, I'm 71st percentile. So I'm not good at all here with me losing an Elite Eight team. But looking at the leaderboard, I'm very curious. There's two selections right now on ESPN's tournament challenge that are perfect. We have two perfect brackets going into Sunday. And I'm looking at this one, like this one bracket, like they had Texas with the win here against Gonzaga. Like everything is played out. They had the upsets. This one, here we go. The first perfect bracket on ESPN that did have Texas over. You know, Gonzaga, if we're curious to see what this perfect bracket has here for Sunday, they have St. John's over Kansas, UConn over UCLA, Florida over Iowa, Iowa State over Kentucky, UVA over Tennessee, Texas Tech over Alabama, Purdue over Miami, Arizona over Utah State. The second perfect bracket on ESPN has Kansas over St. John's. So one of those perfect brackets will not be perfect after tomorrow. Guaranteed. Because they both have different picks on one game at least. He has UCLA over UConn, Florida to advance, no surprise there. Iowa State over Kentucky, Tennessee over UVA, so they differ on that one as well. Texas Tech over Alabama, Purdue over Miami, and Arizona over Utah State. So the two perfect brackets, one, they're guaranteed we're not going to have two perfect brackets after Sunday. But that's just insane. And I don't know, do they even put like how many people have entered into the tournament, into the thing? I mean, I know it's like millions of entries here into this tournament challenge, but I'm always curious to see like how far you get with the perfect bracket. And especially this year where we do have all the favorites and there's only been a handful of upsets, and they're not exactly like difficult upsets. You know, like Texas Gonzaga was a game where there was a lot of sharps that I knew that had Texas plus the points. You know, the Vanderbilt-Nebraska game was a coin flip game. That's not a shocking upset. We haven't had a real shocking upset yet here in this NCAA tournament. Like, who is Cinderella right now? Who is it? Who is Cinderella? Is Texas Cinderella? A team out of the SEC is Cinderella? Yeah, they played in the first four. And we do have history of first four teams, not just advancing in the first round, but then going further, like VCU most famously made it to the Final Four. But like, is that Cinderella right now? Is it Utah State? From the Mountain West, they're a 9 seed. They're going to get walloped probably by Arizona. So the hopes and dreams are gone there. You could have said maybe High Point, but Arkansas took care of them and won that game. So High Point's gone. I mean, where is Cinderella? That's it. I mean, they're gone. We have what? One double-digit seed? That can't be right. Is that right? We have one double-digit seed left here in this tournament? Am I missing that? We had the 11th seed in Texas is alive, and that's it. We have one double-digit seed in the Sweet 16. That is what they say, the death of Cinderella. And congratulations to people who placed bets, like the prop bets on you know, what you have in the NCAA tournament, like you know, how a number of double-digit seeds, let's say, to make the Sweet 16, or the total number of seeds, like in the Final Four, the total number of seeds in the Elite Eight. We only have one double-digit seed in the Sweet 16, and that is the darlings, Cinderella of Texas. Wow. That is unbelievable where we are right now in what is the chalky of chalky chalk chalks NCAA tournaments. I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSIN Live. We're going to preview the Sunday games coming up here next. We're going to be joined by Cody Mitchell to get his best bets here. I am struggling on a best bet here for Sunday. Now, am I in my head a little bit? Maybe. There's a contest here in Vegas called Last Man Standing. It's a survivor contest run by Stations Casinos. And the way it works is, it's not like your traditional survivor pool where like you pick a winner, like the Splash Sports one that everybody here in VSIN has been talking about, which is like incredible, where you have to survive in advance. Like, imagine the stress of that. My goodness. But this one is, you have to cover the spread and then advance to the next day. You could pick the same team twice, but you just have to cover the spread. If you don't cover, you're out. If you cover, you win. So it started, this contest, with over 2,700 entries. In fact, 2,737 entries with a prize pool of $55,200. It goes to whoever the last man standing is. If it's one person, you get it all. Multiple people, you split it. Congratulations. After the first 2 days of the NCAA tournament, with a couple of upsets on the first day, and with all the favorites winning and favorites dominating ATS on Friday, out of the 2,737 entries, 2,000 were eliminated in the first 2 days. There were only 730 remaining entries going into Saturday. Now, I don't know what the results of Saturday have been yet. I'm waiting to see. I'm monitoring the Twitter accounts to see where they are as far as how many of the 730 survived here on Saturday. What I can tell you is that of that 730, three of those are mine. I have three entries still alive going into Sunday. My strategy was, I always like shoving early with all of my entries, except like the way I do it is for day one of the tournament, I go 4-1. I shove four entries on one pick, one entry on another pick. Well, I lost the entry that had the one pick, and I won with the four picks. So then on Friday, I had four entries left, and then I did the same strategy. Three picks on one team, and one pick on another team. And I, once again, lost the rogue selection, and I won the one with the three entries. So I had three entries going into today here on Saturday. I shoved all three on Michigan State. That was a win and a cover. So now I have three entries going into Sunday. I'm going to shove all three on one game here on Sunday. And then if I survive to next week to the Sweet 16, then I'll kind of see what I want to do with those three entries. My debate right now is I'm either going to go St. John's over Kansas or Iowa State over Kentucky. There is an overwhelming trend that has me leaning towards Iowa State. The problem is the market is kind of with me on Iowa State, and this line is now up to -5.5, and I don't know if I like that. I'll tell you about that trend, plus we'll get Cody Mitchell's take on the games coming up here on Sunday, coming up next. Once again, I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter at Scott's On Air. You can hit us all up on the network at VSIN Live. More NCAA tournament talk continues here on Cashing Out on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Let me get your attention real quick, podcast listeners. It's March, which means the madness is officially upon us, and the folks at VSiN have really gone crazy with this one. I'm being told for just $29.99, you can get unlimited access to VSiN Pro through May 1st. I'm talking picks through the tournament, public betting data for every single game, plus sharp tools, projections, articles, and more. But here's the thing. There's already a ton up on the site for Champ Week, which means every day you wait is an opportunity missed. Just click the link in the description to get started. It's March, baby. All right, now back to the show.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Seidenberg back here with you, cashing out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, as we continue to talk NCAA tournament as we are halfway through the second round. And the only Cinderella we have left, the lone double-digit seed that is alive in the tournament, is the 11th seed Texas that played in the first four and is now in the Sweet 16 by virtue of their upset win earlier here on Saturday against Gonzaga. Favorites went 6-2 straight up here on Saturday. The only losses, as the aforementioned Gonzaga losing to Texas, and then Vanderbilt losing to Nebraska. That game was like a 1.5 to 2 point spread, so not exactly a shocker there that that was a loss. And it was a game that came down to the wire, 74-72 was the finish there. Arkansas does get a win, but a non-cover over High Point as they win 94-88. So 6-2 straight up, 5-3 against the spread for the favorites here on Saturday on the heels of Friday, which was historic. 16-0 for the favorites straight up and 12-4 against the spread. I was looking at Sunday's games because I have to have a best bet. I have to put an entry into my Survivor contest here, and I was looking at some situational handicaps with the games here coming up tomorrow on Sunday. The one situation that I looked at that I found to be pretty interesting is if you won your game in the first round of the tournament, but you did not cover. So you won, but you didn't cover. And now you are a favorite again in the second round of the NCAA tournament. How have those teams done? Well, since the start of the 2021 season, so that is the 2022 NCAA tournament, those teams with losses by Gonzaga and Vanderbilt here on Saturday have gone 18-3 straight up, 13-8 against the spread. Prior to the Gonzaga loss, there had been 13 straight wins by these teams. 13 straight wins straight up, and it was 11-2 against the spread. But Gonzaga and Vanderbilt lost. So now overall, since the 2022 tournament, 18-3 straight up and 13-8 against the spread. One game fits the bill here for Sunday, and that is UConn against UCLA. So that's one interesting trend as it applies here to the second round of the NCAA tournament. By the way, Duke and Michigan won and covered in this role earlier here on Saturday. Let's head on out to the Progressive guest line, talk more about the NCAA tournament as we are joined now by Cody Mitchell from Bet the Juice podcast. Cody, we've had all favorites pretty much dominate this NCAA tournament, with Texas being the exception here as the lone Cinderella remaining. Is that surprising to you? It's certainly not surprising to me, given the world of college sports that we live in right now. But are you surprised that only one double-digit seed will advance to the Sweet 16?
I wouldn't say so. I thought for 1 second we had high point. That was one heck of a game. I thought the Panthers were going to come through for us. They gave it all they could, but unfortunately couldn't. Unfortunately, no. This is probably the new trend that's going to be for March Madness. I know it's going to kill the average fan. It's going to kill basically any diehard college hoops fan, because in the day of NIL, the guys at the mid-major that have stayed 4 years, like the Steph Currys, the Mac Daismets, they, you know, after their sophomore year, they're going to transfer up and play the they would like to come off the bench in an SEC school, Big Ten school, Big 12 school, or anything like that because of the money, unfortunately. So I think it's going to take a really, really special group. We almost had it with High Point tonight because they are one of the higher NIL teams in the mid-major world. But it's going to take a really, really special group to really get a bunch of Cinderellas into the next round. I think the majority of the time you're going to see more of like the 11 seed Texases that just snuck into the tournament being our higher seeds later on in the dance, but it's unfortunately not going to be a lot of the mid-majors.
Well, only one mid-major left here on Sunday, and that is Utah State taking on Arizona. I don't think anybody's picking that to be the upset because of everyone that is on Arizona to not just win this game, but also be the national champion. But of these other games that you see, are there any potential upsets on the board here for Sunday, Cody?
The first one that kind of strikes to me is UCLA. I like the Bruins plus 4.5. I believe the number is still 4.5. Maybe by tip we might be able to get to a 5.5. But the Bruins just are playing some of the best ball they have the entire season. I think this team is a little bit underseeded, to be honest with you. They're 13-3 since the start of the calendar year in games that are not in the Eastern time zone. They struggled once they had to travel a bunch of times going from L.A. all the way to the East in the Big Ten, which, again, why are they in the Big Ten? I don't know. But I feel like this team has been underseeded. Like, if they were in the Pac-12 and playing a normal schedule with teams that were regional to them, I think it would be more of a 4 or 5. They take care of the ball, like I said earlier. They drag games into the mud. They're one of the 300s when it comes to tempo. They get to the free throw line really well. And they got a stud in Donovan Dent, who seems to shine the brightest when the lights are the brightest. And we've seen Mick Cronin do this as an 11 seed before. Now, he's going up against a coach in Dan Hurley, who has 2 national championships, obviously. But, you know, before Dan Hurley got those 2 national titles, the stigma on him was, could he win in March? And could that potentially just be a special group? Because the UConn team that I saw play against the Furman team, which is a good mid-major, but they are very, very young. Bob Ritchie is an incredible coach. But that team is full of a bunch of underclassmen, and they gave the Huskies everything they handle. I think UCLA can upset UConn. I really do love the points at plus 4.5, because I do think it's going to come down to one possession. But I would not shock me one bit if the Bruins and Mick Cronin and the company get it done on Sunday.
Wow. Yeah, you know, listen, I have a futures bet on UCLA to make the Elite Eight. So hoping that that happens here. It starts with a win over UConn, and then we'll see what happens there against Sparty. I might be able to hedge off that plus 750 ticket on them to make the Elite Eight. We'll see when it gets there. Got to get there first. I want you to help me, Cody. We're talking to Cody Mitchell from Bet the Juice podcast. Cody, help me come up with my best bet here for my survivor entry in tomorrow's games. I'm debating between St. John's over Kansas laying the 3.5 points or Iowa State laying 5.5 against Kentucky. Which one of those games do you like better?
Ooh, that is a tough one because obviously, like, right off the rip, I would love Iowa State more than anything. I've been such a giant fan of this team the entire season, and honestly, been a giant fan of this team since Austin Burns took over. The unfortunate part is I do not believe Joshua Jefferson is going to play tomorrow. He is listed as doubtful. He is the heart and soul, probably the best player on Iowa State. And the way Kentucky is playing, and on the other side with Okeo Ogwe, just going nuclear. Obviously, he was the hero in the game against Santa Clara, banking in that 35-footer. But other than that, I mean, he's put up 30 points. He's been incredible. I actually would look more towards the Johnnies. St. John's has probably played down the stretch just some of the best ball they've played the entire season. Rick Pitino kind of missed in the transfer portal with the point guard position. They're kind of playing point guard by committee. Dylan Darling's kind of just taken that role. He's not really a true point guard, but ever since they kind of got that figured out, the Johnnies have been rolling. I thought they were underseeded as well as a 5 seed. They just won the Big East regular season and the Big East tournament. The Big East might be a little bit underseeded than it was, or been a little bit down than it used, than it has been in the previous years, but still, you have Rick Pitino on your side. You have the advantage in the front court with Dylan Mitchell, Zuby, and the other guys they have that can control the paint. They can neutralize Flurry from Kansas. They have plenty of bodies to throw at Darren Peterson. So I like the Johnnies -3.5, and I also like them advance. Me personally, I actually have St. John's in my Final Four.
So do I, Cody. So do I.
I love the way they match up with Duke if they can get to that spot. They have so many guys they can throw at Cam Boozer. And with Duke's like uncertainty at the point guard position, yeah, I like the Johnnies. I got a future on them as well to make the Final Four. And I'm starting to believe into it.
I have them in my Final Four, Cody. That was my gut decision. I know we always say go with your gut. I think you might have pushed me over the edge. I think it is the Johnnies for me in my Survivor entry here tomorrow. Cody, appreciate the time. Good luck with your bets and enjoy the games here on Sunday as we continue to follow the madness.
You too, man. I appreciate you having me on.
There he is. Cody does like UCLA catching the points there against UConn. He mentioned some of the UConn struggles here and UCLA playing good basketball. I like that as well. He's also laying it with Arizona and Texas Tech is also on Cody's card, but he likes St. John's. And so, Cody, I think you have sold me. I think I'm going with the Johnnies. I'm Scott Satterberg, always on Twitter at Scott's on Air. Give us your take. You like St. John's? You like Iowa State? Who should I go with here as a best bet? I think it's going to be the Johnnies. It's cashing out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashing Out, Scott Satterberg with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. In about 15 minutes or so, we'll get all the best bets coming up here on Sunday, not just in college basketball. We'll take a look at what's going on around the other sports. In fact, let's take a look right now at some of the results in the world of sports. And we'll start in the NBA, where the Los Angeles Lakers get a Luke Kennard game-winning shot to win their 9th straight game, 105-104, over the Orlando Magic. 9 games, believe it or not, is not the longest winning streak right now in the NBA. That belongs to the Oklahoma City Thunder, a 132-111 win over the tanking Wizards as SGA scores 40 points. He's your runaway MVP right now. The Thunder have won 11 straight games. If you're looking at the standings right now in the NBA, I mean, it really is just, it's wild. The Pacers, the Wizards and the Pacers have lost 15 and 16 straight games together. Like, this, you have to keep betting against these tanking teams. I know that, like, the money line parlays are expensive at times, or you're trying to add, you want to add more teams, and then you wind up with like a situation that happened earlier this week where like Denver loses to a bad team, and then it's like, the Tankapalooza parlay didn't work out. But the reason why it works right now in the NBA, and the reason why we're seeing, hey, the Nets have lost 6 straight, the Wizards have lost 15 straight, the Pacers have lost 16 straight. The reason why it works is because Adam Silver has come out, the NBA commissioner, and he has told you, he's told all of us, they're going to put a stop to tanking. Whatever they have to do, and we can talk about radical ideas all we want. I have radical ideas. You have radical ideas. I think mine are better, honestly, but that's besides the point. They are going to try and stop this. So this might be the last year that teams can do this, that teams can tank without, you know, repercussion or just whatever new system the NBA is going to try and put in place next year to try and deter teams from doing this. So get in on it while you can. You got about 10 games or so left in the regular season. Just continue to bet against these tanking teams. And yeah, the money lines have been ridiculous, but after 15 straight, you're making money. 15 straight losses for the Wizards. 16 straight losses for the Indiana Pacers. It's stupid. This league is not competitive. It's too long of a season. 82 games is a joke. More than half the league makes the playoffs. In fact, it's beyond more than half the league because we have the play-in tournament also. So 20 of the 30 teams have an opportunity to make the playoffs. And then you have the top-tier teams that are great, cool. You know, the Thunder, 56 wins. The Spurs, 53 wins. In the Eastern Conference, the Pistons, 51 wins. And then you have the bottom of the league that's just never going to be competitive. 16 straight losses for the Pacers, 15 straight losses for the Wizards. It's just not a good product. It's a terrible product. But what is a good product is the three-month-long playoffs, which is the second season. It's the reason why it's nicknamed the second season. It is a completely different season. It's a completely different game. And we have the top teams that we care about, and the bottom feeders, we could care less. Get rid of them. It's funny. The NBA is talking about expanding now. We're going to put a team in Seattle. We're going to put a team in Vegas. 32 teams in this league. I'm going to give you a hot take right now. The NBA does not need expansion. I'm all for putting a franchise in Vegas. I'm all for putting a franchise in Seattle and bringing the Sonics back and having the Oklahoma City Thunder defer the history of the Sonics back to the city of Seattle. I love that idea. Seattle deserves an NBA franchise. Vegas deserves an NBA franchise. But relocate some of these teams. You don't need two extra teams unless we're doing something radical, like I suggested, which was create two different leagues, right? The NBA and the ABA. Then you have two 16-team leagues. Problem solved. Tanking solved. Relegation. Promotion. Two separate champions. Guess what? All-star game. You play each other. NBA Cup. You play each other. It's the cleanest solution to fix the NBA. People will still care. People will still go to games. But, hey, instead, we'll add two more teams. And then we'll have more teams that are sitting here at the end of the season with G League talent and losing 15 straight games or 16 straight games in the month of March. Just absolutely pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. On the ice, a couple of interesting results. The Vegas Golden Knights, I don't know what's going on with this team right now, but they have lost 3 straight games. They've actually lost 6 of their last 8 games, and it even goes beyond that. Vegas has lost, 3, 6, 9 of their last 13 games, Vegas has lost. You look at the standings right now in the NHL, and we're making a push right now. There's only about 12 games or so left here in the NHL regular season. Vegas right now is the third seed still in the Pacific Division. They have 76 points, despite the bad run that they've been on, the teams ahead of them haven't been much better. Anaheim hasn't done well. Edmonton hasn't done well. And then the team behind them, the Kings, they haven't done well. They've lost three straight. So they've lost a couple of in a row as well. So everyone seems to be falling apart here in the NHL. In fact, like the only team that's actually doing well right now in the Western Conference is the Dallas Stars, winners of seven of their last 10 games. Everyone else is just kind of like, whatever. And they have a chance to catch the Colorado Avalanche for the President's Trophy, believe it or not, because they have 97 points. The Avalanche have 100 points. In the Eastern Conference, which I think the Eastern Conference is wide open, by the way, Buffalo sits on top of the Atlantic Division with 94 points. And then you have Tampa Bay with 88, Montreal with 88, Boston right behind them at 86, the Red Wings right behind them at 84. So that, and Ottawa's even alive at 81. Nothing's been decided yet. And then in the Metropolitan, Carolina's got 94, but then you have Pittsburgh with 86, Columbus at 85, the Islanders at 83. Heck, even the Flyers at 80 points are still alive here. Wild card races. In the Eastern Conference, you have Boston with 86 points, the Red Wings with 84 points, Islanders 83, Ottawa 81, Philly 80, Washington 78. That's not that far behind 84. 12 games to make up, 13 games, you can get there. In the Western Conference, Utah with 78, Nashville with 73, behind them, LA 72, Seattle 71, San Jose 70, Winnipeg 68, St. Louis, which has won seven of the last 10, 67. I mean, it's not crazy to see some of these bottom teams actually rise up here in the standings. But a team that I think is a lot of fun to watch play, that is not getting enough love, in my opinion, in the futures market, is the Buffalo Sabres. Buffalo is right now plus 700 to win the Eastern Conference. Why is Buffalo not getting enough love in the Eastern Conference futures market? They are in first place in their division right now. They're going to finish in first place in their division right now, which means that they're playing a wild card team, right? Whereas like Tampa's going to have to play Montreal, or Tampa's going to have to play Boston or whatever. Buffalo's going to play a wild card team. They're going to have home ice advantage. They could finish with the number one overall seed in the Eastern Conference. They have the same amount of points as Carolina, but yet there's no love here for Buffalo. The Eastern Conference odds right now on DraftKings, Tampa Bay's your favorite at plus 185, Carolina plus 200, and then the drop-off to Buffalo at plus 700. The Eastern Conference is wide open. Wide open. Anybody can win this Eastern Conference. I would not be surprised. I'll tell you right now, it sounds crazy, and it's a long shot, but at 22-1, if the New York Islanders make the playoffs and make the Stanley Cup final out of the Eastern Conference, that would not surprise me one bit. Because they have the best goaltender in the NHL right now, in Ilya Sorokin, who's going to win the Vezina Trophy as the best goaltender in hockey. Well, maybe Vasilevsky's minus 180, Sorokin's plus 140. But if the Islanders get in, you got the best goalie in the league, in my opinion, right now, in Ilya Sorokin. You have the rookie of the year in Matthew Schaefer, right? You have veteran leadership. Again, look at the standings in the Eastern Conference. Everybody's jumbled up together. Everybody's bunched up. Anybody can win this Eastern Conference playoffs. 22-1 on the Islanders? That is worth a sprinkle, my friends. I'm Scott Satterberg, always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. You can hit us all up on the network at VSIN Live. Coming up next, we'll take a look once again at the round two matchups here of the NCAA tournament on Sunday and give you our best bets as we continue the madness here on Cashing Out on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Scott Satterberg back here with you, cashing out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, as we take a look at all the games coming up here on Sunday with best bets. And let's start in the NCAA tournament as second round action continues. Before we talk about these games, I want to mention a couple of interesting trends that I looked up as it pertains to the second round games in the NCAA tournament. The first one that I looked up was, if you were a favorite in the first round and you won your game, so obviously you're playing in the second round because you won your game, but you didn't cover. So you won your game in the first round, but you didn't cover as the favorite. Now you are listed as the favorite again in the second round. How do those teams do? Well, since the start of the 2022 tournament, so 22, 23, 24, and 25, and this year, 2026, those teams are 18-3 straight up, 13-8 against the spread. Here today, on Saturday, Michigan and Duke both won and covered. Gonzaga and Vanderbilt both lost outright. So 2-2 here in this tournament. Coming up here on Sunday, one team fits the mold as a favorite that won their game and did not cover in round number one and is a favorite again here in round number two, and that is UConn against UCLA. Now, if you covered in your first game and then you're a favorite again in your second game, you actually don't do that great. You are 33-15 straight up, 22-25-1 against the spread. So that's kind of interesting to take a look at from the other side of the tail. Now, another thing that I looked up, what about teams that played in overtime in the first round? How do those teams do in the second round? This one, I actually looked way further back. I didn't look since the start of the 2022 tournament. I looked back, history of the database goes back to 2007, the 2008 tournament. If you played in overtime in the first round and then in the second round, you are 6-21 straight up since 2007. That includes VCU losing here on Saturday. Kentucky played in overtime in the first round. They will take on Iowa State here on Sunday. So again, 6-21 straight up, those teams that played in overtime in the first round. Interesting, just to take a look at some of those trends. Here's your schedule for the NCAA tournament on Sunday, round two of the second day of the second round. Your 2-7 matchup in the West region, Purdue, a 7.5-point favorite over Miami. Total there, 147.5. The 2-7 matchup in the Midwest region, Iowa State and the aforementioned Kentucky, with Iowa State now up to a 5.5-point favorite. So we're seeing the line move on that game. It was 4.5. Now it is at 5.5. Actually, excuse me, now it's back down to 4.5. So market moving. 4.5, Iowa State over Kentucky. Total there, 145.5. Your 4-5 matchup in the East region, Kansas against St. John's, where St. John's is a 3.5-point favorite with a total of 144.5. The 3-6 matchup in the Midwest, Tennessee, the 6th seed, a 1.5-point favorite over Virginia, total in that one, 137.5. The 1-9 matchup in the South region, Florida, a 10.5-point favorite over Iowa. The 1-9 matchup in the West region, Arizona, an 11.5-point favorite over Utah State. Your 2-7 matchup in the East, UConn, a 4.5-point favorite over UCLA, total of 136.5 in that one. And your 4-5 matchup in the Midwest, Alabama and Texas Tech, where Texas Tech is a 1.5-point favorite, total on that one, 165.5. My best bet here on Sunday is going to be St. John's. I'm going to lay the 3.5 here with St. John's against Kansas. Kansas struggled a little bit with Cal Baptist, and from the moment that St. John's dominated UConn in the Big East tournament championship game, I thought to myself, this is a team on a mission. This is a team that remembers what happened last year when they lost as a 2-seed. This is a team that is out to prove that they were grossly underseeded by the committee. I understand the Big East did not have a good year this year. I get it. It's not a power conference as compared to the other power conferences anymore. At least this year it wasn't. But St. John's won the Big East regular season title. They won the Big East tournament title. They were competitive early in the year in a 103-96 loss against Alabama. They were competitive in an 83-82 loss against Iowa State. Okay? And you get no respect by the committee to the point where you're not just a five seed in a region with Duke, with Michigan State, with UConn, a team that you beat twice already. Not only are you a five seed in that region, but then they make you go all the way out cross country to San Diego to play your first two games. This team feels disrespected. This team's on a mission. I have St. John's in my Final Four. But it starts here. Well, it started with a win in their first round game, a win in a cover, despite the fact that many people picked Northern Iowa as the trendy dog. St. John's made quick work of them. Now St. John's 3.5-point favorites over Kansas. St. John's is my best bet here for Sunday. I do like Iowa State against Kentucky, although from the experts that we talked to, a lot of people are concerned with the injuries with Iowa State, with Joshua Jeffries likely not playing. He's dealing with an ankle sprain, likely not going to play for Iowa State in this game. I know it's like it's a conflicting thing here because I got the injuries for Iowa State, but I also have Kentucky coming off of overtime, and I kind of want to fade them in that, but the injuries might be a little bit too much. The injury to Jeffries might be too much. Maybe I just stay away from that game. And then I'm very intrigued by taking the points with UCLA against UConn. I really am. I think UCLA is playing great basketball right now. I'm a little concerned with UConn. The allowing Furman to come back on them. Something's just not right with this team right now. So I may have a play on that game, but right now my best bet is on St. John's -3.5 here over Kansas. While I'm looking this up here, I do want to see, let's see if I can pick this up real quick. If you are a higher seed than your opponent and you are the favorite, I'm curious to see if I can figure that out. But anyway, because we do have a couple of situations here that are interesting where you do have the lower seeded team, I should say, is the favorite. And that St. John's, the 5 over the 4, does qualify there. Tennessee, Virginia, the 6 over the 3 qualifies there. Texas Tech, the 5 over the 4 qualifies there. And I know like the 5-4s, 8-9s, things like that don't really measure up. But the 6-3, Tennessee and Virginia, that's an interesting line to some that people might think, hey, that's a way that I'm going to look here in this one. So that's something that I do want to figure that out. I'm sure Steve Mackinnon has all those trends up on vsin.com. In the NBA tomorrow, we do have tanking games that you can take advantage of. I mean, Nets and Kings are both tanking, so you want to they both can't lose. The Knicks are 20.5-point favorites over the Wizards. I mean, come on. The Wizards have lost 15 straight games. So I don't know if you have a dance partner here for the Knicks, if you want to put them in your money line parlays or whatever. They're not going to lose here to the Wizards. Celtics take on the Timberwolves. That is your Sunday night game. I will be on Live Bet Sunday tomorrow to help preview that Sunday night game on Peacock, plus also the NCAA basketball games that are in progress with all of the live betting opportunities that present themselves. Tomorrow, start the day with the VSiN Weekend Morning Line at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, followed by Ready, Set, Bet at noon, and then Live Bet Sunday begins at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Real-time analysis, in-game betting action as all the games happen. And as I mentioned, I will be back with you tomorrow night on Live Bet Sunday as we take you through the later part of the slate in the second round of the NCAA tournament leading into what will be a preview of the Sweet 16. We already have one best bet in the Sweet 16, and that is Houston -2.5 over Illinois, my first best bet for the Sweet 16. I'm Scott Satterberg. You can hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. You can hit us all up on the network at VSIN Live. Once again, my best bet for tomorrow, Sunday, second round action of the NCAA tournament is going to be St. John's -3.5 over Kansas. And that is likely going to be my last man standing entry, where I have three entries left and 55K up for grabs. So let's see if I can survive till the Sweet 16. This is Cashing Out on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.